That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are here with a full crew this morning, this bright and beautiful March 7th, 2020. We thank you for joining us, and we've got a full crew here this morning. Good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And Brother Tim from Nebraska, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant. Hope you have your coffee. What a beautiful morning to have your Bibles open and have your coffee and to join in Christian fellowship. And that's part of what we do here. It's part of what is made available. And so we're glad to be here. And Jason, we'd ask if you would open us up in prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this this coffee time this morning. Father, we pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do. And we come before you, we come before the King of Kings, and we just appeal to your mercy and to your grace. And we ask, Father, that you just tend to our each and every needs, tend to the needs of the saints across this land. Father, we're recognizing and we understand that we are living in difficult times, and we don't know exactly sometimes how to prepare or what we are to do, and we just ask for a guiding and directing of the Holy Spirit for that. We know our enemies are making an uproar against us, Father, and we just call out to you to war with those that war against us, that you fight with those that fight with us, Father, you protect us, that you cover us with your pinions, Father, that you just put your wings of protection around us and protect us, Father, as we just call out to you as our Savior, Father, and we cry out to you, Lord Jesus Christ, save us from the hands of our enemies and those who hate us, Father. Deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us. in any way, shape, and form. And we cling to that promise of Psalms 91, and we say, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadows of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your right at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you need not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent, you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. And dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we claim these promises. We claim these promises not only for us, but we claim them for our families as well, our offspring, Father. And we pray as this land, we love this land, Father, and we know that you love this land. This land is the apple of your eye, and Father, you have great plans for it, Father. And we pray, Father, that we can pass on a land to our children that is better than the way we got it. And we pray, Father, that we are good stewards of what you have given us charge over, and that you continue to guide us and direct us in the paths of righteousness, and that you give us wisdom, Father. I know I need it an awful lot. And I pray, Father, for that wisdom, and I ask, Father, that you pour it out upon me. I pray, Father, that you give us that wisdom that we can be good servants and that we can be good stewards of what you've given us charge over. And, Father, we pray for this coronavirus, and there's a lot of people that are worried in this land. And, Father, we pray that they can find comfort in this Psalms 91 prayer, Father, that they can be part of that 91st Brigade, and that they can be those Gideon elite, Father, that though weary, they press on. I pray for those people out there that are worried and that are scared, Father, and I pray that you grant them comfort and that you tend to their needs. And I pray, Father, for those that are sick, that they overcome this virus. Father, I pray, Father, that this virus, I personally believe that this is a weapon of warfare, and it has been genetically engineered in a lab, Father, and I pray, Father, that it has no power over any of your people. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen, and so be it. And so be it. Well, Remnant, we thank you for joining us again this Saturday morning. The phone lines will be open this morning. The phone number, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, 307-745-5913. And we'll take your question or comment. And as Jason mentioned, lots going on in the world. And not everybody is aware of the devastation that occurred in the Nashville and I believe it's Cookeville area. Was speaking to some friends last night, and they had, you know, mentioned Nashville, and they didn't know anything about it. Because it really has not been covered by the media a whole lot, even the president visiting. But speaking with people and seeing some of the videos, and gonna have a couple pictures to show tomorrow at church regarding it. As Brother Marlin said Wednesday night, he came on the prayer meeting with us and said the thing hit the ground and just rolled for about 200 miles, and they think it was two tornadoes, and the devastation, I think the death toll's in the 20s. Still some people missing, but just almost entire communities just all but wiped out. And but one of the things we are seeing is the neighbors that are helping out, not just their next door neighbors, but but neighbors from different states, different Christian relief organizations that have had boots on the ground the next day when this happened. And a couple current things that I saw that caught my eye was President Trump had visited, and of course there's a huge news entourage that's following, trying to, you know, to catch something, and most of the time to try to use against our president, it seems like. But he was able to speak with some of the families privately, just out of, they were still in visual, but the news reporters couldn't pick it up. And I thought that they were very quick to report on that. But what they did report, what I did see, was after the conversation, they were hearing amens from the people. And the people weren't just whispering it. They were shouting it. And I don't recall in my 54 years hearing of things like that being reported before. That here in the midst of this death and destruction, and until you see the pictures and really think about it, it is hard for us to realize, you know, the things we have, our homes, our families, our vehicles, our, you know, the things we do, our place of work, just wiped out, looking like a pile of toothpicks, and not having that coffee pot to expect, maybe not having you know, that dresser or closet of clothes, and maybe not having family after something like that happens, but we see that these people are bouncing back, helping one another, and then even CBS News, and this is what I think is significant as well, is CBS News had a reporter down there, and of course, like most news places do. And a couple of the one of the words that he was using was the resilience that he was seeing. How you can't keep these people down. They've lost everything, and they're helping their neighbor out. They don't have a house. That there's you know, people that are helping one another, and they've lost everything, and that they were all very positive in their speech, And this was a quote from one of the CBS News reporters. He said, "Every single person I spoke with mentioned God." And they reported that. Of course, they were reporting it live. And so I just, you know, I thought that sometimes we've played that song by the Gaithers. Sometimes it takes a mountain, right, to get us back to our God. And it sure seems like that that God has got some people's attention there, and brought some of those people closer to Him as a result of this.
That kind of reminds you of what Jack Moore used to say all the time: "There's no atheists in foxholes." You know, and
right.
When we see these things, whether they're natural disasters or financial disasters or you know, the health issues that are going on around us, there is a battle that tries the souls of men. And you know, when your soul gets tried, you get on your knees and pray to God, and when you start praying to God, He answers. You know, so when you start seeing Him answer, you know, your soul rejoices. It's one of those opportunities to see that kind of power of God abound. And I think we're seeing the results of, it's bearing fruit all across the land, all across the world today. I mean, there's just, there are these things that are going on. God's on the move, and He's stirring, He said, stirring you up, you know, and, cleaning out the nest, and, there's a lot of those things going on, and you know, how can you not feel up about that? How can you not have hope for the future? So when we see those things going on, so I know Jason and I were talking about several different things. There's some interesting court cases going on. There's some interesting things going on as far as the protection of our country and these illegal aliens. And I mean, we're just seeing all kinds of blessings and of opportunities that God's putting out there for his people. And our prayers are being answered. The enemy's confused. I mean, look at the Democratic Party is just an example of that splinter of the mind's eye group that is, trying to deface God and remove God from every aspect of our day, and they can't even get anything in one heap, you know, as far as moving forward.
Amen.
Right. But I think it's interesting. I was talking to somebody. I'll just kind of jump off there, but I kind of moving over to some of those things. There's a big movement on right now, and this is some more of us taking care of our people, taking care of each other. But this Right to Repair Act, I've mentioned it before. I know Jason's talked about it some. What's that?
Go ahead.
But there's some big movements going on with that right now, and some big stink. And they're not going to continue to have their own leg. Go ahead, Jason. I know we were talking about it a little bit. You got some better you want
to. Well, I was just going to say, there's been an uprising, and they got a right to be mad about it. You know, somebody that goes out and buys an $800,000 tractor, and then they can't work on it. You know, and basically it's stirred up again, and they're going back after it, and people need to win that. I mean, it's, that's one of the things that makes America great is the farmers. And, these farmers are being attacked and they're being held down, and they've got a yoke that they want to be out from under, and they should be. You spend that kind of money on a tractor, and it's, these emissions crap that is making these things not run, and they don't even want them working on them. I mean, it's absolutely insanity.
Yeah, it really is, and it's all about. I think that one of the things that astounds me is, and I think it's a proven fact, is we look at these farmers and ranchers, and they go out there and work every day to feed people, and that's their motive. I mean, you rub elbows with these guys, and you got to ask yourself sometimes why they do it. I mean, why does the wife work a full-time job and the guy's working a part-time job and he's still farming and barely making ends meet? Because he loves the land and because he's got Jesus in his heart, and that's what we are. We are an agrarian society and have been since the Garden of Eden. So there's a motivation there that surpasses human understanding as far as what we need to accomplish, what we need to do, and with God's help, they'll get it done. But yeah, they got guys there that I know there was a lot of big stink down Husker Harvest days with some of the manufacturers, and they've got. I mean, the things that you hear and the stories that you hear and the things that are going on just wow you beyond belief that you could. Like Jason said, an $800,000 tractor that you can't run. One of the guys was that they interviewed was working on a 4010 John Deere, and he said, "I wonder if this $800,000 tractor over here is still going to be doing the same job this 4010 is in 50 years, or 55 years." And it's pretty much all the way across the board with everybody I know that has any mechanical aptitude. It's like, no, it's not. It can't. Not the way it is anyway. If you can't change it so it will function, and you can't take the means of production away from a guy and spend that kind of money and then expect them to make it. And I think our farmers are under attack like never before. I mean, they're under attack financially, ethically. I mean, you've got all this stuff going on, and it's just a full-on frontal assault all the way across the board. And I don't even think from a common sense point of view that you can see that the companies that are promoting this are doing it to their own hurt. I mean, if you take your customer base and drive them broke because you're charging them too much and sell them inferior products that won't work and that they can't repair and that they don't get any longevity out of, that seems like kind of a short-sighted business model to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was talking with a wheat farmer in Nebraska, and he was talking to me about, and I don't remember the exact numbers, so don't quote me on the numbers, but it was, you know, he was telling me, he said, you know, my grandfather bought a brand new combine, and it was a John Deere, and he paid $5,000 for it, and he said that, you know, he was getting $5 a bushel for his wheat. He said, I'm getting $5 a bushel for my wheat, and he said, my combine is $1.5 million. Now, he said, you know, he's like, I'm farming a lot more acres, but at the same time, he's like, I got to pay for that a whole lot more years than Grandpa had to pay for his. Grandpa bought his and paid for it in the first year.
Yeah, no kidding. And inflation being what it is numerically speaking, why the $5 in wheat, the value on that wheat's actually gone down while it would seem like the value of the combine certainly increased more than the inflationary rate, you know. That's not a very good playing field.
Exactly. Well, and these tractors, I mean, what I'm seeing too is, you know, they're having tractors and they're having problems that even the dealership can't fix. You know, you spend $800,000 on a tractor and you have to leave it running in the field 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can't shut it off, because if you shut it off, you ain't going to get started again. And so that's the solution to, you know, that's real good for the environment. Your DEF system's working real good there, ain't it? You know, your emissions. Garbage,
yeah, no.
and that's the solution. That's what people have come up with for a solution, and that's an actual solution to some of these tractors' problems. Is, oh, you just don't shut them off. You just leave them in the field and let them run 24 hours a day. Yeah, that's real good for the environment.
Not to mention your fuel costs. Good night, you know. But it is the insanity.
Yeah,
the insanity of, hey, we've done this, and this is our solution to the problem we've created. It just creates more problems.
Yes, yes. Well, and I was reading some of the right to repair stuff, and one of the things that one of the major implement dealers was talking about was the fact, well, we don't want these hick farmers. You know, that was the overall, not, that's my paraphrase, but basically, we don't want these hick guys out there trying to work on this technical equipment that we've got, because if they make a mistake, why, it may just self-drive itself through a barn or through a group of people or a football stadium or whatever, and so we have to have our technicians work on it. And you know, to those of us who are kind of in the mechanical world and work on things and fix things, it's a funny thing, because there's a lot of those guys who are not very good at their job working in the dealerships. I mean, some of the things, some of the stories, and some of the pictures that go on just leave you shaking your head. So, those hick farmers you know, that's such a slap in the face to say that. And I always laugh about that anyways, because most of the true contributions to society, the true contributions to just big inventions and stuff are made in people's garages or in their barns. You know, I mean, if you get down to it and start looking at it, very few of them actually happen in a corporate environment. As a matter of fact, usually what comes out of those places are kind of abortions as far as what it amounts to. So, you know, it's the individual that God has gifted with the power to create those good things and to put them together and to build those things, you know. And the only thing these big companies are interested in is monetization of it, which seems to be at $800,000 for a tractor or something, seems to be that way. I mean, it just boggles the mind to see these things go on. And they've gone so far as to say, well, you know, they may have bought that tractor. In one court case, they said, well, they bought the tractor, but they don't own it. They're just, in essence, leasing it from us, because all of the software and all of the technology that goes into that tractor is licensed by it. They're only licensed to use it, and if we decide to revoke their license, which the dealer says that they can do, it won't work. And they, all of this equipment has, this new equipment has a kill switch on it that they can turn off the vehicle from anywhere in the world with the push of a button, you know. So, they don't like you if you're not making your payment just right or some other problem, why they can just push a button and brick your tractor while it's sitting in the field. I mean, they act like it's a cell phone with wheels on it or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting when...
Well, moving on, it said this week, and it just hit, I was in the last day or two, but it said Pakistan is hit by its worst locust swarm plague in 30 years. Insect swarms decimate entire harvest as country declares nationwide emergency. And for the whole country to basically declare a nationwide emergency, that's huge. There was people that basically it's, you know, trying their best to save their crops. They said that even the stores are sold out of cotton products. You know, and I mean, how many times do you look at something, a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or something, and you don't see made in Pakistan? I mean, cotton is one of their big commodities, and that's one of their big crops that they harvest over there, that they grow and harvest. And they're saying that, there is whole crops that are just, boom, gone overnight. Basically from coast to coast on Pakistan, and there's people that are just, I mean, they're reaching down and grabbing handfuls of these locusts at a time. It's you know, it's absolutely insane. It's you know, it's an epidemic. It's you know, a biblical proportion epidemic.
Absolutely. yeah, it's on wings or legs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and didn't I hear something about, was it China or something? They're doing a whole bunch of ducks or something. Did you hear about that? Something about ducks, and they're going to release, I forget how many hundreds of thousands of ducks to,
I didn't hear that.
John brought that up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, those two.
They're supposed to release them for, they're going to eat the, kind of have the locust.
Yeah, Remnant, going back to the, go ahead.
No, John, I was just going to give the phone number again. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Go ahead, John.
I think it's pretty significant, like Jason was talking about this morning, about this thing being bioengineered. But not only that, when you look at this... COVID-19, it's much as much of an ecological disaster it is a medical one. It looks like it may have come from the incineration of these pigs and their waste. They believe that the Spanish flu of 1918 and the COVID-19 coronavirus began as a zoonotic animal to human infection, not from bats as first reported, but rather from pigs and pig waste. The 1918 Spanish flu pandemic began in the midst of an infectious pig slaughter of undiscovered cause, a few hundred miles from Camp Funston, which is currently Fort Riley. Similar to the outbreak of COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak began in Wuhan, China, at the wake of a massive pig kill off who were dying from the African swine flu. So I think that there's some significance there as well, especially when you tie it into the biblical food laws regarding pork and how that pork consumption just exploded in that area.
Yeah. No one in the past we brought up how they manipulated the genetic structure of those hogs, and this was before CRISPR years ago, just to create the genetic sequencing that would allow them to use their pig hearts and valves and things like that in their stuff. So there was a lot of that in there, which just had to make the jump or the ability of those viruses to run back and forth that much easier, I would think.
Yeah, mixing around with things that shouldn't be messed with, for sure.
Well, there's a whole bunch of that stuff goes on. They're doing it with everything from seeds to so on, and, you know, seeds to human DNA, animals, and, you know, it seems to me God gets pretty uptight when you start messing around with his creation. I mean, that's one of those zones God's, you know, he keeps that for himself. That's not our job. So
that's right. Well, you know, Tim, it reminds me of the Bible talking about how God is a jealous God. Jealous is one of his names. He created his creation. Certainly it's imperfect in this fallen world. He created it perfect. But it is imperfect just because it's in this fallen world. But still, there's no improving on it. We think that there is. And just like sin in the land, he puts up with it. God puts up with it for so long, and then pretty soon it's like, yeah, you're just going to have to live with what you've created. And they've tried to with all this GMO, like you said, from seeds to genetics, it's. You know, reaping the whirlwind, it seems like.
Yeah, you can see they're starting to put quotas on what you can purchase at some of these, especially the mega stores like Costco and Sam's Club and stuff, 5 cases of water or 5 bags of rice or 5 whatever. And here locally, not really in the grocery stores, but in those super stores, the shelves are pretty empty. It's pretty amazing to see that what's going on, I believe, is with regards to the coronavirus.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing it not only in the stores with the food and that, but the auto parts. We've kind of mentioned that before. But saw a headline here, automakers are scrambling for parts and preparing war rooms as the coronavirus spreads. And the article talked about that they, you know, both truck production in North America, vehicle production, that they, you know, they're trying to find alternative suppliers, that they have established like Dana and Aptiv and Toyota and Fiat Chrysler, General Motors, established teams and task forces and war rooms to monitor what is going on with the coronavirus, what areas are shut down, where they can get parts. And so it's making an impact. You hear people talk about, well, the coronavirus is just blown out of proportion, and it's just, you know, the media is making it more than it is, but it is having rippling impacts. You know, fuel, oil is down. Oil prices, it was projected when it first got announced that oil prices would drop, and they have. I think I saw $2.17 a gallon for gas here in Laramie yesterday, and so oil prices have gone down. You know, things for in the economy for auto parts, batteries, things like that, we're seeing those prices increase. And I guess what they call is durables, you know, the hard items, whether it's cell phones or washing machines, auto parts, these things that we have come in our society as a consumerist society that we have merged into. Made in China is just part of it. And Jason, like you mentioned, made in Pakistan, the cotton, the clothing, huge impacts that are being made. And the limits on the purchases.
The quality is so much worse than it used to be that everything's throwaway, but we're used to just going to buy another one. Well, those days are gone here, at least for a while.
Yes.
Based on what's going on with China, like you said, there's, I believe I read about a Hyundai plant that had to shut down and lay off its workforce because they couldn't get one part. So you think about that in an assembly line. If that part is a part that hinders you from creating or finishing the rest of the operations of the assembly, that's pretty significant.
It is. It is. And the shipping lines, the impact, not that we really care about the impact on the global economy, but the shipping lines, headline from the South China Morning Post, shipping lines face troubled waters as oil tankers, container carriers and cruise lines stop calling on China. And oil shipment is only 12% of what it was last year. It's not down 12%. It's down 88%. And that's pretty that's impactful. You know, seven of the world's
railroads. The railroads and the shipping companies, like you say, that use, you know, millions of gallons of diesel that are affected by oil prices are dropping. It's not the average consumer, but it's the millions of gallons that are not being used in transportation regarding the China epidemic, like you said.
That's right. No, that's exactly what we're seeing. And we're seeing a rippling effect of that with these oil prices that are dropping. I think that are dropping here. Seven of the world's 10 largest container ports are in China. Imagine that, because that's with their slave labor. That's where they've produced, made in China, all these baubles, all these things that we, with this global economy over the last 30 years, that we've, again, we've shifted to. And so the reason that 70% of the world's 10 largest container ports are in China is because that's where 80% of the manufacturing is, and now it's shut down. So that supply line has stopped. I saw one quote here from let me find it. It's from the managing director of the Wei Kuang Maritime Transport Holdings, which is one of the big shipping holding companies in China. He says, we foresee the delay to be between 1 to 2 months. So we'll see. You know, that they have to put that out. They can't say, oh, this is the end. This is, this is going to be the end. Nothing's going to be the same. They can't do that. But that's what they're seeing. The Middle East, the coronavirus is running rampant through the Middle East. It makes the news when, big military leaders and whatnot in Iran and Iraq and in those regimes, when they die suddenly of it. In Italy, I saw a report this morning, 49 people died within 24 hours of, as reported, the coronavirus. And so the tourism that has long been a mainstay in Europe, you know, visiting places like the Louvre and the Eiffel Tower and places. They say those places are like ghost towns now. So huge economic impacts that we're seeing. I saw a thing this morning, guys. I figured Jason and Tim sure would have saw it, but ammo sales in the United States. Ammo.com, which is one of the largest online ammo retailers, they are reporting from 105% increase in their, not just a 5% increase, okay, but 105% increase in shotgun shell sales, up to a 410% increase in handgun caliber ammo sales. Huge increases in that, because something is getting to the American people, and this has only been since like February, the second week of February, so we're only talking in the last 3 to 4 weeks that this has happened. But huge increases in all calibers of ammo sales. And so, you know, the Made in USA, we're seeing a big resurgence in that, and it may, as you said, John, very well become a necessity. You know, if you have a vehicle plant or any type of assembly line that, like you said, is being held up because of one widget. Oh, they need one whatever, a radiator or a starter or whatever it may be. That and people are out of work and businesses are shut down because of it. It'll get made in the USA pretty quick. I do believe that.
Manufacturing equipment has been moved over to China, so it's more likely going to be a piece that's, you know, in a dash or something like that, something that's not accessible later on, that's going to shut these lines down. Something that you can get to fairly easily would shut the line down, even if they're stacking cars just to put that part in. But it'll be some kind of part that has to go in early on in the assembly, otherwise you can't get to it later, is what I believe will be the issue. But I thought one thing that was kind of comical, really, was I don't know if you saw Schumer's rant against the Supreme Court this week, but a pro-Second Amendment group has filed an application for a temporary extreme risk protection order against Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer after New York Democrats threatened the United States. So they're using the red flag law on him and basically saying that they need to take away his firearms, go into his house and take all of his firearms. And so he's just completely outraged about it. But I think it's kind of funny.
I think it's funny, too. Yeah, yeah. Wow, a bunch of hypocrites.
That's what they are. That's right. That is what they are. So, well, I got a chance to drive around in Colorado. My daughter had an Irish dance performance last night, so we got to go down there, John, into your neck of the woods and see that. It was a really good turnout, and they had a really good time. I was overwhelmingly surprised at the CBD stores that are and the hemp oil and stuff that seems to be everywhere. And I hadn't even had a chance to talk to Jason about it. It was just last night. But driving down through the kind of the backside of Fort Collins and Loveland and around and downtown, and Jason, I don't know if maybe you might have a comment or two on that, but it just seems that this hemp is exploding. I know that even Wyoming is having here, I think this next week, they're having a big teleconference, the university is, on growing hemp in Wyoming. And so that sure seems to be something else that is changing, something that's really becoming more of a mainstay in our society.
Yeah, and it's going to, and it's going to continue. You know, there's a lot of states that basically, since Trump passed the Farm Bill and basically took it off the endangered species list, it was, you know, it's made a lot of changes across the country. I mean, and it's good. It's good for the environment. It's good for the soil health. It's good for... you know, it's good for cattle and it's good for people. There's a lot of benefits on it, and you know, it's proven that it's working for people. And it's basically this year, and you know, it's going to be, they're going to be growing in Nebraska and in Wyoming, and you know, that's huge. I mean, you look at the amount of nitrogen that it puts back into the soil is just, you know, phenomenal. And you know, it's going to change the... It's changing the, you know, basically a lot of industries right now, that they're building paper mills that are going to be run on hemp. They're changing clothing, Columbia Clothing Wear, you know, which is a higher end clothing company. They've been purchasing and right now currently building a new factory just to build all their clothing. Or a line of clothing out of hemp. It's going to change. And you know, what you can grow in 5 acres would take you 20 acres of trees over the next 20 years to grow. So it's you know, it's a very, very good product for a lot of different things. When you look what it's doing with, you know, in the cattle feed industry and what people are using it for, it's a very sustainable product that that is going to, it's going to change agriculture over the next, you know, it actually has over the last year, but it's going to make a dramatic change. You know, over the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be huge. So it's, you know, there's a lot of benefits from it. We got CBD stores that have popped up here in Colorado. And, you know, people that have been, you know, that are having arthritis pain and, sleeping issues and mental issues and stuff. I mean, there's just a tremendous, amount of benefit that people are getting out of it. And it's great. It's, you know, you know, it's basically an enhanced version of a flaxseed oil. You know, it lubricates the joint. It feeds the body. There's been people that, you know, have been suffering from a lot of issues for years that are in relief from it. So it's pretty exciting. You know, you got to be careful. It's just like any other product. You got to be careful of what you're getting. You got to know where it's coming from. You know, they're trying to figure out how to regulate it in so many different areas. But, you know, they can grow it. Basically, you can have something, a product that is certified to be grown pesticide, herbicide free. And the day that they cut it off, the plant off out of the ground, and before they hang it upside down to dry it, they'll dip it in pesticides. Well, it's certified that it was grown pesticide, herbicide free, but, you know, the day that we cut it off, it's not growing anymore, then technically it's shrinking, so we can, you know, put the pesticides on it. Well, that protects against mites and spiders and this and that, you know, and it's just, you know, it's full of garbage. So getting a good product is one of the things that, you know, right now that is getting worked out, because there's, you know, there's no labeling and there's no requirements on what you have to tell exactly what you did when you were growing your product. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of things to be worked out. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, with Wyoming just coming out with their regulations for growing it, it's like, yeah, they got a, you know, a whole bunch of flaws in it, and they really, they jumped on it and wanted to get on the bandwagon because they understand what it's going to do for the communities and what it's going to do for the state of Wyoming. But at the same time, they're, you know, it's, you know, they want to regulate it. So, you know, the regulations are one of the things that are being, worked out. And, you know, hopefully over the next 6 months, we'll have everything like that worked out. But yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's great. It's gonna change. I mean, you think about, you know, that's, you know, where clothing coming from over the next 10 years. I mean, it's gonna far you know, exceed what you know, the cotton market. So, you know, and it's a renewable resource that you know, you should be able to make your fuels out of it. You should be able to make your ropes out of it. If you look at the Model T and what Henry Ford did with that, you know, the Model A, for instance, that, you know, they said that was the car that was grown from the earth. The plastics, the paint, yep. Basically every product that could be was grown out of hemp.
Amen.
Absolutely.
About that.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that hemp is, grown in the USA, right? Made in the USA, you might say?
Oh, yeah. Born and grown here. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it has a great, you know, I mean, the future looks bright. It does. With these things going, we see the global economy that you know, the globalists, the merchants of the earth with their ships that the Bible talks about, that have had their heyday, it seems like, that have just gone and gone and grown and grown, and, oh, we can do it cheaper and make more money in China. Let's go do it.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is hemp at one point in time in history here in the United States, you could be jailed if you did not grow hemp. Every farm had to have so many acres of hemp on it. You know, it was a subsidized crop by the government that was mandatory to have so many acres of hemp on, because it was such a great commodity. Everything, you know, was made from it. And it was big oil and gas companies that they're the ones that basically shut it down, because they saw that, you know, basically if we don't put a stop to this, all the oil and gas is going to be made from hemp. And so, you know, who was that? Well, it was, you know, it was the Jewish bankers, you know, cartels that took it over and put the kibosh on it. They didn't want something. They wanted to have, they had the monopoly on the oil and gas industry. Therefore, they didn't want anything else, you know, coming out and competing with them. So they shut it down.
Yep. Well, and the other thing about hemp that's absolutely awesome is there's just no waste. I mean, you know, basically everything from the ground level up has a use, you know, for there's just, it's a wonderful plant as far as that goes for those kind of things like medicine and clothing, and we need something to heal our soil. I mean, when you look at the amount of chemicals that are being dumped on, and that goes back to this gas and oil and petrochemicals, because a lot of those chemicals are dumping on are petrochemicals, and it's such a conundrum, or such a, back to hypocritical again, but you know, boy, they don't want anybody to dump a quart of used oil in their driveway, but they don't think nothing about going out and putting thousands of gallons of herbicide or pesticide or something like that that has a petroleum base on it all the way across the field. That's okay, you know. So it's kind of a you know, it's a strange thing.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we've got a couple minutes left. Maybe time for one phone call, 307-745-5913. Exciting times.
I thought it was interesting, too. The left is furious after seeing Mike Pence's all-male task force that Trump put together to deal with the coronavirus. It says the left will use any reason they can to hate Vice President Mike Pence, and then basically they went ballistic, because not only was there a picture of all men sitting around a conference table, the task force, but then they had the audacity to all bow their heads and pray, and I thought that was pretty significant. Let's see, what was the quote? It's a sad day in America when the act of appealing to the Lord for help is seen as worthy of mockery.
Yeah.
And
it is.
Basically says that these people don't believe in God because they treated God like a genie in a magic lamp in the past, and they did not get what they wanted, so when they made a wish. And that's pretty much the truth. Those that even gave believing in God a chance. But we got to remember that there's those terrors that are born of their father, the devil, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, that, like Roman lions seek someone to devour. And it's hard for the average person to understand that and to realize that. I've been trying to beat it into the heads of the Wednesday morning prayer group that I meet with, and they still have a hard time with it. But it was kind of a masterful plan, really, if you think about it, of the enemy to, the first thing, if when I was a kid, I can remember everything was Jesus loves me, right? Jesus loves me. That's all it was Jesus loves me. And that's the mentality of the majority of the churches today, and the majority of those that call themselves Christians. They just can't understand that, no, that's not exactly what the Bible says about Jesus and God. And I just think it's significant that the parable of the wheat and the tares seems to be being fulfilled more and more every day. They're not hiding anything anymore. They're just standing up bold, proud, and brazen.
Hey, man, that's true.
Yes.
That is true. They fall under that, don't do anything that, you know, they don't, they're conceited. They don't follow their own. I was thinking about Bloomberg carrying on here the other day. I guess he dropped out of the primary race, and I was thinking about him saying that, oh, I'll spend my whole fortune to beat Trump, and I'll be, is he broke already? I mean,
right.
You know, he was the one that said it, I mean, but he dropped out. But then I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because we had a whole group of those people say that if Trump got elected the last time, they were all moving to Canada, and I haven't seen them standing at the airport counter or anything. So, you know, they're still here. You know, it's kind of a, it's funny how they don't follow through. They talk real good, and but they never carry out what they say.
Right. You know, Tim, it sure seems it's that spirit of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they lay these burdens on the people, but they don't carry them themselves. They put these requirements and they say one thing, but they certainly do another. And they are, as the Bible says, whitewashed tombs, that they might look good on the outside. It might appear, they appear to be maybe righteous, or they appear to, and they say, oh, we care for the people. But they're liars, and they come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the difference. You know, they do. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, versus coming to bring abundant life. And, as for me, I'll do my best to choose that abundant life. Well, guys, we are out of time this morning. Boy, that hour went fast. We do want to invite you, the remnant, to join us at church tomorrow. I know we have some guests coming, and so looking forward to that. If you can come physically, we sure ask you to let us know so we can be prepared for you and be ready for you. But you can join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern. You can click on the live video stream, and we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth message for you. We'll have a live message, some music. We'll partake of communion, and so it will be, as we mentioned, it will be fellowship with like-minded Christians, and we're told not to forsake the assembly. So we encourage you to do that. We know it's a busy time out there, that there are, it seems like there's just not enough days in the week and not enough hours in the day. But we have a choice. We have a choice whether we gather and worship or not. So I hope you make that right choice. And guys, again, thanks, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high. Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make 'em health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, move 'em out, move 'em out, head 'em off, stay high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.